Okay. Yeah, everybody ready? We're on page 1026. This week we'll learn Parshas Shoftim. We'll read Parshas Shoftim this week. So we'll learn a little bit from Shoftim. On page 1027 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumashim, we're using a different Chumash. Is there anybody here using a different Chumash? Whatever. Devarim Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Ches. Yud Zayin Ches. Alright, so we'll read a couple of psukim, we'll see what the Torah is talking about, and then we'll return to the beginning of these psukim and see them with the words of the Rishonim and the Achronim, as per our usual mode of study. Everybody with me? Everybody ready? Excellent. So the Torah says, Ki palei mimcha davar la mishpat. Would you imagine that sometimes this happens? Something is a matter of judgment is hidden from you. Bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, divrei rivos bisha arecha. Right, in a matter between, I'll just use the Art Scroll translation for now, blood and blood, verdict and verdict, between plague and plague, matters of dispute in your cities. So what do you do? We have an argument, a dispute. So what do you do? V'kamto v'alisa el ha-makom asher yivchar adonai Elohecha bo. You arise, you rise up, and you ascend to the place that Hashem, your God, will choose, or has chosen, or shall choose. Uvasa el ha-kohanim ha-leviyim v'yel ha-shofet asher yiyeh b'yamim ahem. And you come to the Kohen, who is from the tribe of Levi, right? The Kohanim come from the tribe of Levi. There is an Ibn Ezra who suggests possibilities of having Kohanim not from the tribe of Levi. Don't ask me questions right now. It doesn't mean Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, but just being honest, that does exist, interpretation. And to the judge who is in those days, V'darashto v'higidu lecha eis devar ha-mishpat. And he, V'darashto, sorry, and you will inquire of him, and he will tell you the word of the judgment. Ve'asisa al pi adavar asher yagidu lecha min ha-makom ahu asher yivchar Adonai, and you will do in accordance with that which he tells you from the place that God has chosen. V'shamarta la'asos kechol asher yorucha, and you should guard, be careful to do all that he has instructed you. Al pi ha-torah asher yorucha v'al ha-mishpat asher yomru lecha ta'aseh. And according to the teaching that he teaches you, and according to the judgment that he says to you, you should do. Lo sasur min adavor asher yagidu lecha yaminu simol. You should not deviate from that which he tells you, neither right nor left. Va'ish asher yaseh bizadon levilti shemoa lakoein omed l'shareis sham es Adonai Elohecha or l'ashofet. If there is a person who willfully does not listen to the command or to the teaching of the Kohen or the Shofet who is there, umesa ishahu viarta harami Yisrael, and the person is put to death, and you uproot, destroy the evil from amongst Israel. V'chol ha'am yishmu v'yirau v'lo yizidun od. And the entire nation should see and fear, and they will not do such in the future. This is the portion. This is the part of the Torah, by the way, is referred to as the Zakein Mamre. If you've ever heard that phrase before, that this is that portion. This is the Zakein Mamre. We'll learn these psukim again, and we'll come to a greater understanding. Malka, are you okay? You look puzzled. Oh, okay, good, excellent, very good. All right, so then let's go back to the beginning of these psukim and let's learn them again with the words of the Rishonim and the Achronim. These psukim are very rich, and the Torah is telling us something very, very significant in these psukim. So the Torah tells us, Ki polei mimcha davar la mishpat. By the way, isn't that incredible? Would you believe it? It's very hard to understand. No, the Torah says that sometimes we won't know. Really? Ki polei mimcha davar, something will be, I'm being sarcastic, I'm sorry, right? Sometimes things are beyond us. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes things seem to be hidden and confusing, and we don't get it. And it's all kinds of things, by the way. all kinds of things. Bein dam ladam, bein din ladin, bein nega lanega, all kinds of things can be confusing. All kinds of things can be difficult for us to figure out, to understand, can be hidden from us. They translate this as hidden. Yipale, it really means it's a wonder. A pella is really a wonder. It's not something that's hiding. It's something that's it's wondrous. I can't figure it out. That's what it means, hidden. It's very difficult to understand. I don't get it. So what do I have to do? If I have even divrei rivos bisharecha, an argument, I'll say one thing, and you'll say something else. We'll have a fight. Divrei rivos bisharecha. So actually, it's interesting. Rashi here writes that divrei rivos bisharecha. Where did that Rashi go? It's on my page. There it is. Shiyu chachme ha'ir cholkim badava. Rashi says, who's fighting here? This divrei rivos. Who's having these arguments? Rashi says, the argument is amongst the chachme ha'ir, the rabbis of the city, the sages of the city. You know what Rashi presumes? Well, he doesn't say, but he presumes, right? That what happens here in this portion of the Torah is, somebody has a shaila. Maybe two guys have a machlokas. Doesn't matter. Either way. Makes no difference if it's one person who has a shaila in kashrus or in hilchos nida, or two guys have a machlokes when it comes to monetary, you know, matters. It doesn't matter what the case is, and they come with a shaila to a particular rabbi or to a beis din in their town. And Rashi says the beis din has a fight. Divrei rivos, the beis din has a fight. So there are already two levels of fighting now, or uncertainty, depending on the situation, right? There's the uncertainty or the machlokas and the people who it happens to. Then they go for advisement to their chachamim, and now there's uncertainty or there's machlokas in that second level of the cities, of the towns that we're in. And so then the Torah says, V'kamta ve'alisa al-makom asher yivchar Adonai Elohecha bo. Who goes up? Who? We have two levels of people. Who goes up to the next level? So Rashi says everybody goes up. The Kamta Valisa. The people who are arguing, the people who are uncertain, also the initial Chachamim or Beis Din that they came to, yeah? Yeah. We'll get to the rebellious part. Let's get there. One second. We're not there yet. As of now, we haven't reached the Mamre part of the Zakei Mamre. We're not there yet. But you know what I thought was really interesting from these psukim right here? And I guess maybe this is so simple and so obvious that maybe you just don't have to say it. But I feel like sometimes it's good to say things that are simple and obvious. You have to ask shailas. You have to ask shailas. It's not always easy to ask a shaila, by the way. I know this for me. It's not always easy to ask a question. Sometimes we like to think, oh, we'll figure it out. We really know what's going on. And sometimes we'll say, I don't really know what's going on, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. And we'll, you know, push it on the side and we'll forget about it and we'll keep going. Right? But the Torah is not taking that approach. The Torah is assuming you have to go. Now, it's not only people. You know, people. It's not only, it's also the Chachamim. The Chachamim don't always know the answers. The Chachamim consult and they talk with each other. If I have Divrei Rivos, that presumes that there's more than one Chacham. The Chachamim talk and they don't. And the Chachamim sometimes have Machlokas. And you know what they have to do then? They have to ask a Shiloh. The Kamta Ve'alisa. They have to go up to the next level, to the Beis Din Agadol. See, sometimes it's very hard to ask a Shiloh for all sorts of different reasons. Sometimes I don't ask a Shiloh because it's embarrassing. Either the shaila is embarrassing. I remember there was one time I was sitting next to Rabbi Sachs. It was in his shir room, and he'd finished saying shir, and I was sitting, you know, in the vicinity of his desk, and a fellow came up to ask a shaila, and he said, you know, he was like squirmish, and he said, you know, Rabbi, I was last night I was in the kitchen. The guy had just gotten married recently, a few weeks, you know, married. He said, I was in the kitchen and I took a spoon and I mixed this pot and it was the wrong spoon and the wrong pot and, you know, so Rabbi Sacks told him what to do, whatever it was. It just it stuck in my mind. I was a little bit younger than that fellow at the time. I wasn't married yet. It stuck in my mind the way he was asking the question. It was like, what's the big deal? You used the wrong spoon. You made a mistake. You weren't paying attention. But something so little and say sometimes it's embarrassing. You don't want to ask a question. You don't wanna, okay, but we ask questions. I remember there was one time Malki and I remember one time. Oh. One time we messed up in the kitchen. It was terrible. There's a reason why I'm telling you this story right now, because it brings me to my second point. The first point is that we need to ask questions. There's a second point. The second point is that we need to be sensitive, that the people who are asking us questions might be hesitant to ask those questions. I'll tell you a story. There was one time Malki and I messed something up in the kitchen. I don't remember exactly what happened, whether I messed up. I don't remember exactly what happened. Yeah, it's probably me. I don't remember exactly what happened, but we ended up with some onions that's bad news. Once you say onions, it's already a bad situation. Right, were cut with the wrong knife and something, or whatever it was, and it was Friday. Also a bad situation. It was Friday. It was in the morning. It was like 11 o'clock or something like that. 12. I don't remember exactly what it was. It wasn't late Friday afternoon, but it was Friday. It's a bad combination. And I remember I called. Can I tell you who I called? It's a good story. I could do that, right? I remember I called Rabbi Neuberger, Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger, and I asked him about, you know, it was chicken and onions, but we also used those onions in maybe a kugel, or these onions got into everything. We really messed it up. It was really bad news. It was not good. I think maybe I don't remember exactly what we did. Maybe we used the wrong frying pan. That could be it. Maybe we sauteed onions in a milchik frying pan, and then we cooked those onions with all sorts of fleishik stuff. I don't remember exactly what we did. I honestly don't remember, but it was bad. We messed up a lot of food, and we threw out a pan, and we threw out a chicken, and we threw out a kugel. It was really bad. It was not good. But then I remember Rabbi Neuberger saying to me, but it's Friday afternoon, so maybe I'll just bring some food over for Shabbos. It was Friday morning or something like that. And I don't know if he was actually going to bring food over to my house, or I don't know what he was going to do. We had plenty of time to get ready for Shabbos. But I remember, you know, getting off the phone and saying to Malki, or her saying to me, I don't remember exactly the events, that was really nice. You know, like, we messed it all up, you know. There's nothing he can do. It's not like it's his fault, you know. We messed it all up. We made a mistake, you know. But there has to be a sensitivity that when somebody comes to you for questions or advice, not even questions of halacha, when somebody comes to you for advice, you have to realize and be sensitive that the person who's coming to you may in fact have a hesitancy to come to you. The Torah here tells us we shouldn't have such a hesitancy. The Torah says we should go ask shailas. But it's very, very important to on both sides to recognize that I don't know everything. We don't know everything, and we have to ask for help. And there's nothing wrong with going to ask somebody else for help. There's nothing wrong with it, and it doesn't make us less, and it doesn't make them better. Sometimes people need help. We need help in all sorts of areas. Bein dam ladam, bein din ladin, bein nega lenega. All sorts of areas that we need help in. We have to go. We have to ask for help. And on the other side, on the flip side, we have to be very sensitive. That people who are coming to us to ask for help, we have to make them feel as if they are good and they are fine. Now, I had these fellows from Seed are here. Oh, hey, Kobe. They're here in town. And we had them over for dinner the other night, and one of the Rebbes, I don't remember which one of the Rebbes asked me, they were, you know, I guess they were talking on a Shabbos meal. I think they had a Shabbos meal at the Moskovitz, as they said, I think, and they were talking at the table at the Moskovitz, why is it that, you know, we find by tzedakah, by the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. By the way, just now that I said the word tzedakah, you see how my mind works. I just want to remind everybody that starting this Sunday night, we're going to be having our three-part series of Elul Shiurim, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th, three Sunday nights. We're going to learn about tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, three-part shiur, three-part series. So this Sunday night, here in the shul at 8:30, we'll learn about tshuva, and the next Sunday night, also at 8:30, we'll learn about tefillah, and then the following Sunday night, the 29th, we will learn about we'll learn about tzedakah. They're good topics in Elul, right? Good topics in Elul. So, so I said the word tzedakah, so I remind you about those shiurim. But they said to me, you know, when you find by the mitzvah of tzedakah that the Gemara says that you get more brachas for the way in which you give tzedakah than the actual giving of the tzedakah. Right? And they asked me, I understand that that makes sense, but why is that true specifically by the mitzvah of tzedakah? Meaning you don't find that, say, by the mitzvah of learning Torah. We're sitting here and we're learning Torah. You don't find that the Gemara says, oh, you get a certain amount of credit for learning Torah, and you get more credit if you're happy when you learn Torah. You know, or I'll give you a different example. I don't know, somebody give me another mitzvah. Keeping Shabbos, lovely, always a good one, right? You get a certain amount of credit for keeping Shabbos, but more important than keeping the Shabbos is the method in which you keep the Shabbos. You don't find that, Gemara, at least not that I'm aware of. You don't find it, right? So why is it by tzedakah, this is what they asked me in my house a few nights ago, right? Why is it that, why is it by tzedakah you find explicitly stated in the Gemara that, that the method in which you give it is more significant than the actual giving? And so I suggested to them, they had a number of good answers, which you could ask them, and I'm sure they'll be very happy to share with you. But I suggested to them a possibility that popped into my head. This is not from knowledge, this is just you know, my own thought process. I didn't see this anywhere. But Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva that there's different kinds of Yisurim. I mean, Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva that there's different kinds of afflictions that a person can get. And Rabbeinu Yonah says that the Yisurim of the Nefesh are worse than the Yisurim of the Guf. I'll explain. Rabbeinu Yonah says a person can get sick, bodily ailment, right? And that's Yisurim. That's some sort of suffering that a person can get. Alternatively, a person can you know, get some sort of ailment in the nefesh, in your cognitive processes. I'll give you an example. You know, like depression. Depression has all sorts of bodily symptoms, but in its core, depression affects your mental status, right? Paranoia, being worried about stuff. Not even clinical. I'm not even talking about clinical, you know, disease. Just worry. Worry. I'm sitting around and I'm worried about something else that's going to happen in the future. Well, that's Yisurin. It's a kind of suffering. Anybody who's ever been worried about anything, so you understand, right? How that's a kind of suffering. And then Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that he believes that the Yisurim of the Nefesh are worse than the Yisurim of the Guf. That the suffering of the soul, mental anguish, is worse than the suffering of the body. Rabbeinu Yonah explains. Because when the body suffers, you can always try to lift your spirits. You could always try to maintain a positive attitude. The nefesh can support the guf. But when the nefesh suffers, when your mental processes are suffering, the body cannot support the nefesh. And if you're worried about something, then your physical health becomes worse. It doesn't. Your physical health doesn't help your mental health. Your physical health deteriorates as a deterioration of your mental health. Rabbeinu Yonah. So I suggested to the Rebbes the other night. I suggested to them that perhaps if somebody comes to you for help, somebody comes to you for tzedakah. So there's two issues that you can assist them with. You can assist them with their physical problems, and you can give them charity. But you could also assist them with their mental makeup. You can help assist their nefesh, and that's a greater assistance than the assistance of the physical kind. And so when somebody comes to us for help, somebody comes to us with a shaila, or someone comes to us for advice, we can assist them by giving them the answer. We can assist them by giving them advice. But I think also we need to be very, very careful and very, very
cognizant of the other element as well, being able to be certain that they feel adequate about themselves and okay with the situation as it is. You know, not to just give a quick answer and then assume that everything is okay, but to make sure that the person is really all right. This is a little bit of an aside, but it came to me as I read these psukim. So ki poleim chadavar. When something is beyond you, something is beyond even the chachamim and the sages, and we have a big machlokes. So vikamta ve'alisa, can I? If I was writing a perush, because I already told you what these psukim already made me think. Vikamta ve'alisa, you know what the Torah tells us we have to do in these kinds of situations? We have to stand up. It's not easy. It's not easy to go to somebody else and ask a question. Nobody says this. I'm talking right now. It's not easy. You have to stand up. Vekamta. But you know what the end result is? Ve'alisa. That's Hasidic, what I just said. That's not simple shot in the pasuk. That is Hasidic. The end result is ve'alisa. You end up being uplifted. You end up being in a better place. You end up being higher. You know, I just went to visit somebody who had an operation this past week. And so I just went to visit him yesterday. And I was sitting with him and I was talking to him. And he was telling me that the operation went great. And, he's now, thankfully, he's pain-free. And he's walking again. And, whatever the particulars were. And then he said to me, I only wish I would have done it sooner. And I said, what do you mean? He said, it's been bothering me for a while already. And I was so hesitant. I was so hesitant to go to the doctor and so hesitant to do the operation. And okay, and there were details in the situation. It's not, it's not entirely exactly analogous, but I can pretend that it is, And I was so hesitant to do it. And I only wish I would have done it sooner. I could have gone, 6 more months without the pain that I went through in those 6 months. And so the situation is not exactly the same. And their medical concerns are not exactly the same thing. But the point, I think, is the same. Sometimes we're hesitant. And we don't want to go to somebody else for help. And we want to take care of it all by ourselves. And we don't want to think that something is as big of a deal as it is. And sometimes it requires us to vakamta, to stand up. Just to stand up and to do it. And the end result will be ve'alisa. Hopefully. Not always, but hopefully. The end result will be ve'alisa, that we are uplifted. We are placed at a better place. Ve'kamta ve'alisa, where do you go? Ve'kamta ve'alisa l'makom asher yivchar Adonai Elohecha bo. You go up to the place that God chose. Rabbi Hirsch writes on these psukim over here. On these psukim, we've read one pasuk. Rabbi Hirsch writes on this pasuk, okay? Rabbi Hirsch writes on this pasuk. This is already what the Gemara tells us, but Rabbi Hirsch writes it on this pasuk, that the Sanhedrin had a specific spot where it used to sit. The Sanhedrin used to sit in the Lishkas HaGazis, directly right next to the Beis HaMikdash. The Sanhedrin used to sit in the Lishkas HaGazis, and when Sanhedrin was not in the Lishkas HaGazis, t'was not the same Sanhedrin. It could be the same people, the very same people, but if they're not in that spot, they don't have the same authority. They do not have the same authority. And that's what the Pasuk here says. The Pasuk says, where do you go? You go to the place. Even more so than even the people. The Torah doesn't say you go to... It says, we'll get there in a second. In a second, we'll get to the people, right? We haven't read that yet. The Pasuk says, next Pasuk, Uvasa l'kohanim alvim v'yal shofet shem b'yam imeim. But before that, you have to go to the place. You go to the place. They said the place has some sort of significance to it, right? That even if the same people were not in that place, they would not have the same authority. The Sanhedrin only does capital punishment when it's in the Lishkas HaGazis. Only when it's in the Lishkas HaGazis. Only when it's right there and it's right in that place. We could not have the Zaken Mamre, the rebellious elder, which we'll get to in a second. I know we're not there yet. But we cannot have the Zaken Mamre unless the Sanhedrin is in the Lishkas HaGazis.
That makes sense.
Yeah? Interesting. See, I think it's even more than that. It's an interesting point that you're saying. It's an interesting point that you're saying. No, you're absolutely right. Right? You can't go to a judge who you bump into a judge on the street, right? And you say, listen, judge,
You know, here are the facts, what's the story? And the judge says, oh, it sounds like this. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. Right? You go to the same guy when he's sitting in his, in his court, and you tell him the same facts, and all of a sudden it's a whole new thing. You're absolutely right. I think I think there's a deeper teaching here, if I can. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes in the Kuzari, about Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes that you have to understand that the land of Israel is significantly different in its makeup than it is every other land in the world. He gives the following analogy, which for me makes a lot of sense. I don't know, hopefully it works for you too, but for me it makes a lot of sense. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says, you can try to grow grapes, vineyards, and you'll try in a bunch of different places, and you'll take the same seeds. You start with seeds, grapes, I imagine, yeah. I never tried, but I imagine you start with seeds. You take the same seeds, and you'll do the same processes, exactly the same. And you know what you'll find? That the grapes won't be exactly the same. What do you mean? I'll take the same batch of seeds. I'll put them in different places. I'll do the same exact processes of work in trying to grow them, and the grapes won't be the same? It makes so much sense to us. Of course they won't be the same. Because not every soil is the same. Because the land in which you put the seeds into is different. And some soil is better fit for growing grapes than is other soil. Now, you'll go back to those same pieces of land that you tried to grow the grapes and try to grow something else. I don't know, try to grow wheat or corn. And you'll find that it could be, I don't know, it could be that the land that was good for growing grapes is not so good for growing corn. And the land that was good for growing corn is not so good for growing grapes. You know, you'll find that different lands and different soil are better fit for different kinds of cultivation. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says, it should not surprise us then that the land of Israel is better fit for the cultivation of the spirit. The land of Israel is better fit for the cultivation of spirituality and bringing us closer and nearer to God. Rabbeinu Yonah says, yeah, you can open up a chumash when you're sitting in Memphis, Tennessee. And you can open up a chumash when you're sitting in Los Angeles, or you're sitting in Great Britain, wherever it is that you are. You can do the same processes, the same exact thing, but it won't be the same as if you did it in the land of Israel. Because the land and the air, and it's the same thing as cultivating grapes, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says. It's the very same thing. Did I say Rabbeinu Yonah? I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Right? I'm thinking Rabbeinu Yonah because we're learning Shari Tshuva now at night, which, by the way, you could all come to. Oh, I'm like a walking advertisement today, right? It's Elul. Last night we started Elul. So last night we started our study of Shari Tshuva. So after Maariv, every night we learn Shari Tshuva for like 10 minutes or something like that. You can hear last night, by the way. It's on YIOM.org. I didn't put it on the website yet, but it'll be on today. So it'll be on today. You could hear last night's. Now I just warn you, if you're going to go listen to last night's, right? I started last night from where we left off last year. So if you're thinking, oh, I only have one to listen to, that's true. That's true. And each one is different from the other. But last year's are also there. So you can go not only listen to last night's, but also last year's. It could be a whole lot of fun. But that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah, oh goodness. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says in the Kuzari. And that's what Rabbi Hirsch writes, not in the same terms, but Rabbi Hirsch writes here that the Sanhedrin needs to be in its place. In the Lishkas HaGozis, the same people not in that place, it's not the same thing. The Sanhedrin needs to be directly adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash. And if it's not, then it's not as good. Something missing. Something lacking. They don't have the same authority even as they did otherwise. The Torah says, the next pasuk test. Uvasal akonim alviyim biela shofet asher yeh bayamim ahem vidarashtovi gidu lecha eis devar mishpat. You go to the Kohanim. Rabbi Hirsch writes, by the way, there's a preference to have the Kohanim to be the shoftim, the people on the Sanhedrin. Now, if they're not fit, so then it goes by merit. It doesn't go by, it's only by merit. But if, in a perfect world, the Kohanim would have been serving on the Sanhedrin. But not all of the members of the Sanhedrin were Kohanim, and it really was a merit-based system. But you come to the Kohanim or the Shofet, Asher Yiyeh Bayamim Ahem. And so Rashi here quotes from Chazal. Well, what does that mean? Who is in that day? What did they think? You were going to go to the judge who was not in that day? You were going to go to the judge who already retired, or the judge who already died? What does that mean? So Rashi quotes from Chazal, Ein lecha ela shofet shebi amecha. This is so important and so difficult. Both. It's so important and so difficult. Ein lecha ela shofet shebi amecha. You only have the judge who is in your days. You only have the judge who is in your days. You know, sometimes we do this. I think we do this. I mean, I don't know that it's a good thing. It's probably not a good thing. It's not a good thing. But we do this sometimes. Sometimes we think, well, you know, we like to you know, wax nostalgic about times of old. Oh, back in the good old days when we had fill in the blank, you know? So we used to do it like this, so the way that we do it now, it's all wrong. It's all bad. I'll give an example that's not relevant to my life right now, so I feel like I can do it. And I caution, if anybody's listening to this on recording or something like that, you know what? I have a better idea. Okay, good. When I was going to MTA, right? I don't mean this. I'm just saying this as an example. I'm very hesitant right now because I'm going to use real people. But I don't mean it. I don't mean it. It's just an example. Is everybody? Can I say it now? What? I really don't mean it, right? Let's say, okay, fine, I'll use a different name. That's a good idea. Let's say you were affiliated with a given yeshiva, or a given shul, or whatever it is, right? And, you know, now the particular rabbi who you have either as the, you know, the head of the institution, the shul, the school, whatever it is, that doesn't matter, right? His name is Cohen. Good. Right? So Rabbi Cohen is in charge. And it used to be a very long time ago there was another rabbi who was in charge, and his name was Levi, Rabbi Levi. Right? So I like to think to myself sometimes when a given issue comes up, something happens. And we have to figure out how to deal with it, and so Rabbi Cohen decides, he says, this is what we're going to do. Right? And I say to him, oh, if Rabbi Levi was here, if only Rabbi Levi was here, you'd see we'd be in such better shape. If only, no, Rabbi Levi is dead, or, you know, whatever the situation may be, right? If only it was like this, then everything would all be different. That's not our attitude. Ein lecha ela shofet asher b'yamecha. You only have the shofet who is in your days, and you have to deal with it, and you have to work with it. But not only that, Chazal tell us that Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmuel Bedoro, that you have to treat the Shofet with the same kind of respect that you would have treated the previous Shofet. You know, this is, where I felt this just, I mean, it's not that recently, but relatively recently, you know? Do you remember when that fellow threw that shoe at George Bush? You remember that? So now, two shoes? Really? He threw two shoes? I trust you. I don't remember. So, but you remember that? Right? So at that time, George Bush was not the most popular president in this country. I don't know if you remember that, but you should. Not that long ago. Right? And yet, you know, from some, not from all, from some, you know, there was an outcry. How could you throw a shoe at the president? And from others, there was, that wasn't that great. You saw this guy threw the shoe at the president? The Torah here tells us that our attitude is Ein lecha ela shofet shebi amecha. You only have the shofet who's in your days. You might not think, in your heart of hearts, you might not think that this is the best shofet that the Jewish people have ever had. You might not think that this is, you might think this is not the best shofet that the Jewish people have ever had. But you know what he is? He's the shofet. He's your shofet. Yeah. Yes.
And it was also like you get the leaders, people get the leaders
that they deserve. Yeah, Chazal tell us that. Chazal tell us that the people get the leaders that they deserve. Yeah, Chazal tell us that.
You wanted the leaders of old.
Yeah. So, you know,
this is
something that somebody just showed me recently. My brother gave me this book. I just read this recently.
which one was it? He gave me a couple of them. There's this rabbi. What's his name? There's this rabbi Arush. That's his name. He writes these books. Garden of Faith, Garden of something, Garden of Emuna. He's got a couple of them. So my brother gave me them to read, and I was reading one of them, and he said in there. At one point, when you see a deficiency in somebody else, right, look first at yourself. That often what we see in others is really a reflection of what we are ourselves. And he said, you know, that, and this is what Chazal tell us, that the people get the leader that they deserve. So if you perceive deficiencies in somebody else, right, First, look at yourself and recognize that that may indeed be where it's coming from. But you find that awesome. It's very, very related to this concept, right? I think this concept is slightly different in that this concept is telling us the way that we need to act vis-a-vis those shoftim, right? Not only that the shoftim who we deserve, but recognize these are our shoftim. Now, you also have to understand that, you know, just historically speaking, people who are not exactly so popular in their lifetimes, right, are sometimes at a later point in time remembered much, you know, greater. History has a funny way of changing perceptions of given people. So it could even be that your impression of the shoftim that you have now is misplaced. You may even be mistaken. You may think, oh, this shofet is terrible. If we had that shofet, meanwhile, if you were alive when that shofet was alive, you know what you would have said? Oh, this shofet is terrible. If we would have had that shofet. Ein lecha ela shofet shebi amecha. You only have a shofet asher yihyeh bayamim ahem. And you go to your shofet. And you ask him your questions. I think I once heard, you know, somebody was, talking to Rabbi Schechter. And they were asking him, what would Rabbi Soloveitchik have done in this situation? And the thing I remember Rabbi Schechter saying something to the extent of, he might have done this, but you really know it doesn't matter. Because he's not here. It doesn't make a difference. Ein lecha shofet, right? Ela shevi amecha. That's not exact quote. Ein lecha ela shofet shevi amecha. You only have the shofet who is around in your day. So you go to that shofet. You go to him. Right? And you do, the Pasuk says, v'darashta v'higidu l'cha eis devar mishpat, he tells you what the law is. V'asisa al piya davar asher yagidu l'cha min ha-makom ahu asher yivchar Adonai. And you do what he tells you to do. You have to listen to what he says. V'shamarta la'asos kechol asher yorucha. Rabbi Hirsch points out, if you look at Pasuk Tes and at Pasuk Yud, you'll see different verbs for the issuance of the law. If you look in Pasuk Tes, the Torah says, "V'higidu lecha eis devar mishpat." They will tell you what is the law. If you look in Pasuk Yud, right? Oh, even in Pasuk Yud, I'm sorry, it says both. I didn't have to go to Pasuk Tes. In Pasuk Yud, it says both. In Pasuk Tes, it says, "V'asisa al pi ha'davar asher yagidu lecha." Right? You do that which they tell you. And then the Pasuk says, "V'shamarta la'asos kechol asher Yorucha, all that they instruct you, right? It switches verbs from the root word of Yagid to the root word of Ora, right? So Rabbi Hirsch suggests that perhaps the Torah is telling us about two different kinds of teaching. There's some teaching that's Yagidu. I just tell you, it's a Mesorah. It's simple, it's straight. We have a tradition. This is the tradition. I tell it to you. There are other kinds of teachings that are Ora. It's not so simple. We have a teaching, but the application of that teaching requires a little bit of thought. It requires some sort of analysis. There are perhaps different ways that I could see this halacha. It requires some sort of cognitive processes, not merely the telling over of a tradition, but a teaching of horah, of figuring it out. And so Rabbi Hirsch says that the Torah is telling us it does not matter what the question is. It does not matter if you go to the Beis Din about a tradition, about something that is just yagidu lecha, that they tell you, or if you go to the Beis Din with something which is more complicated, something which is more difficult, something that requires thought and analysis and figuring it out. When you walk out of Beis Din, you have to do the same thing. The asisa, the shamarta la'asos, you have to do it. You have to guard to do it. Rabbi Hirsch even writes that the Torah says when it comes to the word of yagidu l'cha, the Torah just says v'asisa. You do it. You do it. When it comes to the hora'a, to the things that are analyses and more complicated, the Torah doesn't just say v'asisa. The Torah says v'shamarta v'asisa. Because those are more difficult. Those are more difficult. When it's just a tradition, so they tell me the halacha, so I do it. But when there's analysis involved, when it's not so simple, I could walk out of the basement and I could say, well, maybe he got it wrong. So v'shamarta v'asisa. You have to guard to perform it. Because it's harder in that kind of situation than it is in the situation of Yagidu. I thought that was very good, that difference. Oh, Rabbi Hirsch also writes, I almost skipped this one, but it's very important to note it. Rabbi Hirsch also writes that this Beis Din that sat, the Sanhedrin HaGadol that sat in the Lishkas HaGazis, you recognize what the Torah is telling us here. The Torah is telling us whenever you have a machlokas, even amongst the rabbis, so what do? They go to this Beis Din. And this Beis Din paskins, you know what that means? That means that in an ideal world, there is only one way of doing any given thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, we don't live in that kind of world right now. In our world right now, we have tremendous amount of machlokas. Abby, you even told me before, the Gemara is full of machlokas. You know what they were lacking in the days of the Gemara? This great Sanhedrin that would have paskined all those shaylas. Would have answered. Would have told us. Now listen, there would still be differences. It doesn't mean that everybody would be the same. There would still be differences. There would still be nuance. And there would still be emotion and meaning and thought. You understand what I'm saying? But am I allowed to do this on Shabbos or am I not allowed to do this on Shabbos? Well, Rav Moshe says it's okay. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach doesn't think so. We'd have an arbiter, a Sanhedrin, that would decide. And they might have machlokas, and they would vote. And we would follow it. Do you understand? There's differences. Not everybody would be the same. I want to be very clear, right? Not everybody would be exactly the same. It wouldn't create robots. But there would be a uniform law. There would be a uniform law. Right? I don't know. What are the things that different communities do differently? What do we have all sorts of... Is this kosher or is it not kosher? Kidneyos. Okay, great. Right? There's one Sanhedrin. One Sanhedrin. A supreme authority over halacha. That's a very different world, by the way. I mean, that's a very different world. Yeah? Yeah.
Arbiter,
right.
That will decide my focus once and for all.
Right.
So what it does, so what we're left with, is a situation that we will always have my focus. We live in very different, distant lands.
Until we again rebuild.
The point is that if you think that the absence of my focus brings the base of Migdash, the fact that we don't have the base of Migdash brings the my focus that keeps the base of Migdash.
Yeah, it was different kinds of machlokas, right? It's the Mishnah Navos tells us that there's a machlokas l'shem shemayim, there's a machlokas shelo l'shem shemayim. If we have a machlokas that's l'shem shemayim, that doesn't... Right, exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. It's not easy. Oh, it's definitely not easy. It's definitely not easy. Yes. I understand what you're saying. It's definitely not easy, but that's the world we live in. That is the world. World we've been in for a very, very long time. The Torah tells us more. The Torah says, "Al pi haTorah sheyarucha v'al mishpat sheyomer lecha taaseh lo asur min hadavor sheyagidu lecha yamin u'smol." You don't turn not right nor left from that which they tell you. And so Rashi here writes that you don't turn even if. The Beis Din tells you, "Al davar shehu yamin shehu smol, val smol shehu yamin." You don't turn right or left, even if the Beis Din tells you what you think is right is really left, and what you think is left is really right. Right? The Ramban explains this Rashi. Ramban says you'll walk out of Beis Din and you'll say Beis Din is wrong.
It's not right. Sorry, I should not have. It's not correct. I don't want to confuse anybody with the different rights. Right? If you think this way, direction is right. Now, this is right for me, right? This direction is right, meaning to my right. Right? And they tell you, no, that direction is to your right. So you walk out of me, that's wrong. That's not correct. Rashi says, you still don't deviate. So the Ramban says, even if you are positive that the Beis Din is mistaken, you know what you have to say to yourself? The Ramban says, his language is very nice. The Ramban says, you have to say to yourself, listen, I came to the Beis Din, I asked them the following Shaila, right? I asked them for the halachic ruling on whatever it is. And they told me what the psak halacha is, and it's not right. It's wrong. The Beis Din made a mistake. When you walk out of Beis Din, you have to say to yourself, God told us to follow the rules of the Torah. And what did God tell us to do when we have a fight and we have confusion? To ask the Beis Din. What did the Beis Din say? The Beis Din said to do this, that's what I have to do. It doesn't sound right. I think it's wrong. I'm positive that it's wrong. They told me what's right is left and what's left is right. It's not right. It's wrong. It's incorrect. I have to tell myself that God told me to listen to the Beis Din. Sometimes the Beis Din might make mistakes. They might. The Beis Din might make mistakes. But I have to listen to the Beis Din. Probably. I don't know, but probably. I don't know. You have such a thing in the Torah. Right, it's called a parhelim dover shel tzibur. If the Beis Din makes a mistake, and the whole congregation, the whole Knesset Yisrael, whatever it is, right, performs an Aveira, because the Beis Din made a mistake, and we realize that we made a mistake, so there's an atonement process, a special korban, the Torah tells us. So I don't know factually if it ever happened, if that korban was ever brought, but yeah, it could happen. And then the Ramban says, though, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu provides a special chesed, and a special shmira for the Beis Din, so that they should not make a mistake. It might happen. But it provides a special shmira so that they should not make a mistake. You know what I thought when I was reading this? I was thinking about, sometimes you have this, sometimes you have this with, like, just as an example, with Yom Kippur, right? So we know we fast on Yom Kippur, right? The halacha is, if somebody is very sick, they should not fast. That's not always so easy for people. Sometimes you'll say, it's funny. There's different kinds of people when it comes to fasting, right? You have the people who aren't really sick. The people who aren't really sick, they never want to fast. They always call me before, Yontif. Maybe I don't have to fast, get this and that. You get all sorts of phone calls before a fast day. But the people who are really sick, sometimes they want to fast. They want to fast. They go, no, I can do it. That's not the halacha. The halacha is, if somebody is really sick, they're not supposed to fast. Right? So what you have to tell yourself is, you have to tell yourself that the halacha says I'm supposed to eat. So what am I going to do? I'm going to think that I'm being frumer than the halacha, and I'm gonna fast? That's not right. You see how the mind sometimes plays tricks? And so that's what the Ramban here says. The Torah says you go to the Beis Din. And you add, now I'm telling you, the halacha is you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. I'm positive, I'm certain you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. I go to the Beis Din, they say you're all allowed to do this on Shabbos. I walk out of the Beis Din, my attitude has to be, I'm allowed to do it on Shabbos. What do you mean I'm allowed to do it on Shabbos? I'm positive that you can't. But when the Beis Din says you can, then you can. Because that's the halacha. The halacha says you go to the Beis Din. And the Beis Din tells you halacha, so now that's the halacha. You understand? It's like Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel had a machlokas about when was Rosh Chodesh. So they had a machlokas about when was Rosh Hashanah, and they had a machlokas about when was Yom Kippurim. They had a machlokas about which day was going to be Yom Kippur. See, we don't have machlokas like that anymore because we generally speak and use the calendar, but when they used to evaluate the new months and set the new months based on seeing the moon, so you had deviance over which day it was. Now, it wasn't, it was one day off. It's all it could have been. Difference of one day, right? But there was a machlokas between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Gamliel when Yom Kippur was going to be. Do you know this Gemara? There's a fight. And Rabbi Gamliel said Yom Kippur is this day, and Rabbi Yehoshua said no, Yom Kippur is going to be this day. And Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi. Rabbi Gamliel was in charge. So they paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Yehoshua, and I want you to come on your Yom Kippur day into the Beis HaMedrash with your wallet and your walking stick. You can't sit home and hide. On the day that you think is Yom Kippur, you need to come with your wallet and your walking stick and show up in the Beis Medrash and show that it's not Yom Kippur. Now, the rabbis didn't like that. They thought it was embarrassing to Rabbi Yoshua, and you know, Rabbi Gamliel made a public spectacle of him and whatever. But the concept is true. The concept is true. That the Paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, so the day that Rabbi Yoshua was positive was Yom Kippur, was not Yom Kippur. He was positive. He was positive as Yom Kippur, was not Yom Kippur. And there was nothing wrong with him coming with his wallet and walking outside and doing malacha and eating and whatever it was. Okay, whether Rabbi Gamliel should have gone to such extremes, that okay, we could, you know, a different story for a different time. But the concept is true. Now, when the Beis Din paskins a certain way, so now that's the halacha. And you're positive. So we don't live in that world anymore. This is not the world that we live in right now. Right? But that's what it was. Rabbi Hirsch writes that it was because of this. It's because of this. Because of this requirement that the Torah tells us that we need to follow the Psak of Beis Din. It's why on the mitzvahs midrabanan we can recite a bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. Right? Netilas yadayim is a mitzvah midrabanan. Shabbos candles is a mitzvah midrabanan. Reading Megillah is a mitzvah midrabanan. Lighting Chanukah candles is a mitzvah midrabanan. In all of those instances, we make a bracha that asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, that God sanctified us with His commands, and He commanded us to do this. He didn't command us to do that. What do you mean? The Torah didn't say anything about lighting Chanukah candles. Shabbos candles. Netilas yadayim. Mikra Megillah. None of that is in the Torah. None of this all is in the Rabbanan. But that's what it is. We have to listen to the Rabbanan. Now, it's not the same. It's not the same. There are differences between mitzvahs that are midaraisa and mitzvahs midarabanan. They're not the same. A mitzvah that's midarabanan is not the same as a mitzvah that's midaraisa. There are differences. There are halachic differences. If you have a doubt, can you be gozer exera? There's differences. They're not the same thing. But we keep the Rabbanans too. Because the Torah tells us. We need to listen to the rabbis. We need to keep the derabbanans also. Let's try to finish these psukim. We're almost there. V'ha'ish asher yaseh bizadon l'vilti shemo al ha'koeinu amed l'sharei sham es adonai Elohecha o la shofet u'meisa isha hu v'yartara mi'Yisrael. Now, this is the Zaken Mamre part of the Zaken Mamre. Finally, right? We're there. It's this one pasuk. And if a specific rabbi, now this, there are very small instances, by the way. This is not anybody who fails to listen to Beis Din. If you or I went to Beis Din, and you know the Sanhedrin Agadol, not Beis Din, like we went to the Sanhedrin Agadol and they gave us a psak and we didn't listen, they wouldn't kill us. The Beis Din doesn't issue the death penalty for anybody who fails to listen to the Beis Din. That's not what happened. It has to be a specific person, a muflog sheva Beis Din. It has to be somebody who in of its himself could have been one of the Beis Din. He is a significant halachic authority. For somebody who is not a significant halachic authority, this halacha doesn't apply. And he goes to the Beis Din. And the Beis Din paskins his shaila. So he had a machlokas. Like maybe like Rashi said, there was a Beis Din that had a fight. And one of the members of the Beis Din was against the other members of the Beis Din. And they came to the Sanhedrin Agadol, the Beis Din Agadol, and the Beis Din Agadol paskined against this rav. And he walked out of the Beis Din and he said, no, the Beis Din got it wrong. And he continued to issue rulings in accordance with his own thought process against the ruling of the Beis Din, then the Beis Din HaGadol would kill that particular rabbi. This is a very limited scenario where you'd have this actual, you know, situation. But that's the limitation. That's where it was. If that rabbi from the Beis Din would go because he thinks that he's more correct than the Beis Din HaGadol, then the Beis Din HaGadol would kill him. V'chol ha'am yishmu v'yirav v'lo yizidunot. And everybody would see it. And they would not continue to sin willfully. And Rabbi Hirsch quotes from the Ran, with this will end. Rabbi Hirsch quotes from the Ran, what the Ran believes is the rationale of this halacha of Zaken Mamre, this instance of the death penalty of the Zaken Mamre. And the Ran writes, V'chein inyan zaken mamre kidei sheyedu kol ha'am koach ha'kabbalah mitorasenu ha'kedosha. That we have to understand and recognize the strength, the power, and the significance of the Kabbalah of the Torah. Of the way that the Torah is passed down and the way that cases are adjudicated and decided. And once the Beis Din HaGadol says something, even if they're mistaken, that's what the rule is. And anybody who argues, even if he in of himself is a significant authority, since the majority has ruled against him, yeshlo lachzor bedvarav ulaholos kedivrayim kedei shelo yarbe machlokos v'Yisrael. He needs to change his opinion and paskin the shailas like the rest of the Beis Din, so that we do not create different machloksim and different religions and different sects. And this is the halacha that ties the community back together, because I'll have all sorts of machloksim. And how does the Torah make certain that I don't have people breaking off and doing all sorts of different things, so that I don't have 8 and 10 and 5 or 3 different Torahs? We have one Sanhedrin HaGadol, and they paskin the shailas. And when you leave the Sanhedrin HaGadol, it doesn't matter how great of an individual you are, you do not argue with the Sanhedrin. You can argue in learning. You can try to persuade. You can present your case. It's not set in stone. But once there's a psak, that's what you have to do until the Sanhedrin HaGadol changes its psak. Until the Sanhedrin HaGadol changes its mind. And that way we ascertain the koach ha-kabbalah, the strength. That's what we said earlier, we said before, that God told us to listen to the Beis Din, even if the Beis Din is wrong. Even if the Beis Din is mistaken, we listen to the Beis Din. That's the koach ha-kabbalah. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to pass down the Torah, and to be certain that the Jewish people would always stay together and united in that one, you know, cohesive unit, which unfortunately in our world, you know, no longer exists. And so we've learned today the portion of the Zakin Mamre. Let us renew our loyalty to the Koach HaKabbalah. Let us resolve to study God's law. Let us ask Shailas. When we don't know what the halacha is, let us ask of our chachamim, and if we agree with the halacha, or even if we don't agree with the halacha, let's listen to the psak that we get, and let us pray that Hashem provides our chachamim with that extra chesed and that extra shmira, so that they not make mistakes, and we continue to live and hear God's commands, living the life that He has asked us to live. Everybody have a great day, and thank you for coming.
Thanks.